All right, we got Andrew Ack on the podcast today on the Plus One. We're going to talk Bears football. Bears lose to the Vikings again at the end of the game. What is that? Is that surprising? Probably not after the way this season's been going. Andrew, you got a big-ass brain. You're a surgeon, so we thought you also know a ton about gambling. You're a big sports gambler, huge Vikings fan. I'm sure the way that game was going at the end there, you're probably thinking, here we go, the Vikings special teams with another blunder.
I would lose that game. Yeah, I lose that game every time.
So question, when the Vikings get set for the onside kick, I'm thinking, man, there's no way we're going to get an onside kick. I'm telling everyone in the living room, hey, this is why they got to change it so that it's like a quarterback fourth and 15 because no one gets these.
Yeah.
But you as a Vikings fan, did you think the Bears are going to recover that onside kick?
I mean, I didn't think it was unrealistic because it was funny earlier in the game. Natasha's in the kitchen and the announcer's like, the Bears have never led in the first quarter all year. And then the Bears score a touchdown. Vikings fumble at the 2-yard line, right? And it's like, of course, right? Something that never happens all year. And it's like, no one's recovered an onside kick. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Don't say that.
It's like, don't say that. Hey, Ollie wants to talk some ball too.
Oh, there we go. We got Ollie on the pod, the dog. Again, you got the big brain. You know, your guy's coach, Kevin O'Connell, seems to have a big brain in these one-score possession games. Yeah, so kick us off, Drew. What was your biggest takeaway from the game? Just recap the game from a Vikings perspective and a Bears perspective.
Yeah, I think obviously it was offensively. I was just kind of going through the, I love me some advanced stats. Just kind of going through the EPA and success rate. And both defenses, Vikings were number one, Bears top 10. And then both offenses were like mid into the end of the or bottom half of the league in both of those. And I mean, they were really good today or yesterday. Just looking at, Sam Darnold probably played his best game of his career, probably. I mean, I wasn't super locked into those Jets Panthers games, but at least as a Viking, he was really good. And then Caleb, I mean, against arguably, top five, top three defense in the league, he was really good. I think there was a few, plays that were left to be had, but I think overall it kind of evened itself out. Like there was, the fumble at the two, which was like, Aaron Jones never fumbles except, at the 2-yard line. And then there's that punt returner. Like, I don't know what he was thinking. But overall, I mean, I think it was like the perfect scenario. I'm not a Bears fan, so it's different for me, but like for the Bears, it's like Caleb played better. Offense looked great. And you still don't ruin your draft pick, right? So it's like the best of both worlds.
When you're watching, because I feel like something I love about texting you during games, you keep me level-headed with what's really going on because I can get overly excited. But at the same time, Drew, with 30 seconds left in the game, the Bears have 16 points, right? I know that it looks better. It feels a lot better. Are you sold on that being a good offense in terms of you do see growth from Caleb? Because 16 points is still 16 points like last week against the Packers. I was pretty excited, and then you kind of reminded me, hey, they still only put up 19 points at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to take everything into consideration because they're going against arguably the best defense in the league. And I think you look at his throws, and I went back and watched it, and there was a few throws that I looked at that were like, ooh, like that fourth and four where he missed Keenan Allen. There was like a touchdown he missed. He just like airmailed it. But I think overall, I mean, you're looking for improvements. Like, what are the Bears this year? They're not going to the playoffs. All you're looking for is can Caleb make improvements? And I think I wasn't seeing any pressure rates or anything. I couldn't find those stats today. But, I mean, it was just the Bears or the Vikings had two. There's like a third down. They had two spies on him, and he just outran both of the spies, Yeah. So it's like making those plays. Obviously, that throw to Swift was incredible. I think from the Bears perspective, as long as you see growth, I think that's all you really need. I was surprised because we were talking about it a little bit during the game. The Bears, according to EPA and success rate, actually had a better run game against the Vikings. And we were like, why do they keep running the ball? But it was like, credit to the Bears that, they kept with it. And I think part of that's Caleb too.
I was listening to maybe the score earlier, or maybe it was, I think it was a score, or it was PFT this morning. and it might have been Chris Sims. You look at how many yards Caleb threw for. So from a Bears fan's perspective, we played the Vikings last year twice. Justin Fields struggled mightily of getting the snap and hitting the quick screen game, because DJ Moore walked into the end zone. The way that Flores presses up on the line of scrimmage, those throws, Drew, those are really like the run game. That's an extension of the run game. So when you play Flores, your passing yards, his passing yards get a little inflated because those are really like run plays against them. But when you have a guy like Fields last year who can't make those throws, you can't make Flores pay for that. So I love seeing that from Caleb. Now I want to talk my recap of the game, if you will, is I thought high level, two coaches, one guy, Matt Eberflus, 5-20-something in these one score games. Then look at KOC, great, has the most wins in the close game since he came in the league. But something that I kept thinking about as in this crowded living room was it felt like, okay, fourth quarter and overtime, Kevin O'Connell, I want to ask you a serious question. This is what I wrote down to ask Andrew. Who draws up more open receivers 15 yards down the field than Kevin O'Connell in the NFL? Who does it? I don't know anyone that gets guys open more than Kevin O'Connell. 15 yards down the field. Seven plays of 20 yards plus against the Bears. A good defense, but nobody does it better. And I think coming out of halftime, so talk about like adjustments, coming out of halftime, they had a big play right away, right out of halftime. Mm-hmm. And then same thing in overtime. You talked about how great he schemed up Addison on the key third and long. The Bears had many long distances in overtime to get him off the field. They couldn't. Yeah. Kevin O'Connell showed you what I felt like, similar to the Monday Night Football game against the Niners last year. I feel like he's just the master of using your defensive rules against you. Like he figures out what your rules are, and he puts you in no man's land. And I think you saw that a lot. He's just a great coach, man. It felt like he was two plays ahead of Matt Eberflus, and then game management. I mean, overall, thought Matt Eberflus had another bad game. I mean, that's best case scenario. Best case scenario for the Bears. Caleb looks good. They lose in overtime, and it's because Eberflus can't manage the game.
Right.
I just think what I walked away from the game thinking is, man, it's hard not to talk really well about Kevin O'Connell after that game. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I went back and watched some of those plays because we were like, oh, he moved Addison in motion. We're talking about that 3rd and 10 in overtime. And if you watch it back, it looks like there's only Jalen Johnson and Kevin Byard over on that side. So like, I don't even think the motion was part of what got him on a safety. It seems like it's a weird, like 3rd and 10 big time play. And you put your, 30 something old safety on Addison, who's been torching you all game. That's kind of a weird matchup.
When you watched it back, I thought live, cause I knew you were going to go watch the game back. I didn't think they did any motion to get that matchup. Was there motion in that pre-snap?
Yeah. No? So I think JJ was on the line and he goes from inside to outside. It's like, it's just like a quick switch motion, but I mean, it was just Byard and Jalen Johnson over there. So it was just kind of a weird, It was just weird. Like, why wouldn't you put somebody else? Addison's been killing you all game.
Let's talk about that play though. You know what I'm interested in is I thought about that play a lot. Is the Bears called a timeout before that play? They used a timeout in overtime to set up for that play. At what point when Addison's killing you, do you not think about going to what Bill Belichick would do? Okay, well, we're going to put JJ one-on-one with Jordan Addison and we'll double Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
I always find that to be an interesting strategy, right? Like you're going to put two guys on Justin Jefferson, put two of your, second corner and your safety on him. And then if they want to throw a one-on-one, well, then make them throw it at your best corner. I thought that might've been a decent strategy there. And instead, Byard on Addison's just not a great matchup. It's not going to win.
Yeah. That's just that. And the throw from Sam is really good. He's getting the pockets just collapsing in front of him. He doesn't even get all of it on. It kind of like floats it up there, but Addison's able to get so open that he trips. He slips out of his route and the ball is like, he's just waiting for the ball and he's had that much separation. It didn't matter. But yeah, it was actually a really, just that last drive from Sam Darnold, I think really was huge. Cause I wrote down last possession, the first play, they get a sack second. And then he throws like a check down to Hawkinson. It's 3rd and 10. That play happens. And then they get a false start. And then they throw a 17-yard pass to Justin Jefferson. And then they get a holding, then it's 2nd and 20. And they go, or it's first and 20, then they go check down for a first down. You're thinking like, crap, first and 20, like that's going to, we're gonna have to pump back to Caleb and like hope they hold them. But it's just, it wasn't, it seems like Sam understood the offense and he was like, okay, I don't need to make that, like that play right now. Just check down, first down, you know? And so I thought that was really, really big growth by him. He had probably two. It was weird. I was listening to some Vikings post game and they were like, yeah, he was throwing, he had some throws that, you know, were giving the Bears a chance or whatever that dropped. And I only really saw two. Looking back, there was one, I think it was Gordon. What's his first name? Kyler?
Kyler.
Yeah. Where he like, where he almost, he was covering JJ in the first half. There's that one. And then there was there's one over the middle where he threw it high and Edmonds tipped it, but those are like the only two. I was like, he's not, I mean, we've seen some doozy Sam Darnold performances, but this wasn't one of them.
No, I thought he was, I think one thing I love about their offense is they attack every level of the defense, short, intermediate, deep. They keep you guessing. They took enough shots.
Yeah.
The play that was, that's the play of Sam Darnold that stood out. And we texted about it. Number one, he didn't lose that fumble on Montez Sweat in the overtime because, man,
yeah, I don't know how he held on to that.
I don't know either. Yeah. That's insane. So that's big time. The other thing, when I was telling you, because I know we're texting, it's hard. I'm like, I'm surprised he's not scrambling. That wasn't a negative way. It was, man, he really hung in the pocket and took what was there. And we both know that he can scramble. So I think in the playoffs, there's going to be times where, hey, it's going to be third and two. You're going to have to go pick it up. But there were a few times he hung in there and he made some big throws. Just felt like overall, man, felt really good about Kevin O'Connell when I walked away from the game thinking he's – because, okay, the Bears aren't a good football team. They're still a pretty good defense, and they're a well-coached defense. Kevin O'Connell just seems to be a step ahead of everyone. So that was my big takeaway. I am very curious, though, what is your – as a Vikings fan, because I know you guys are like the most pessimistic group out there. After that game, what are the Vikings – are they 9-2 right now? Is it 9-2, I think?
Yeah, 9-2.
The most slept on 9-2 team in the league, the Vikings. What is their floor to you this year? And then what's their ceiling?
I mean, they still have a pretty tough schedule moving forward. I was actually impressed that they went in, they've won, I think, four straight. Because typical Vikings, you know, in Jacksonville, that's a game they lose, you know, just like, you know, you saw Kansas City struggle with Carolina. It's just kind of hard to win on a road against a bad team. You just play down your competition. How many times have you seen it, you know? But I think the top is, I think there's a level. It's like the Lions and the Eagles are probably at the top. I just think top to bottom talent on the roster, especially in I think the Lions haven't allowed a touchdown since the first half of the Texans game. Like, their defense is playing really well.
Really,
and
well.
The Eagles, you know, with their rookie corners and all that line of that that talent up front. I mean, Brandon Graham got hurt; he's out for the year. I saw Montgomery got hurt. I don't know how long if he's out for any extended time. But I mean, they still have Gibbs; he's awesome. But I think the Vikings are in that second tier with the Packers. So I think they can win a playoff game, and then you have to go to Philadelphia, you go to Detroit. The thing that concerns me is kind of what happened last year with Flores, is the defense kind of gets figured out and you don't have the dudes that those other teams do. And so and we saw it against the Lions this year. The Vikings needed a fumble return and some bad plays from the Lions to stay in the game, just because the Lions just overpower you up front. But I mean, I think they definitely can win a playoff game, and then you just kind of don't know after that. And there's still, what, five – what's this, week 12, the 5 weeks left? No.
Yeah, they have 11 games. Well, they played 11, the Vikings,
yeah,
and they're 17, so they got 6 games left, right?
6 games left, yeah. So, I mean, you just never know who's the healthiest going in. The Lions have kind of been getting hurt. You just never know. So, I think definitely, I mean, if they go to Tampa, they go to Atlanta, they go to – whoever, Seattle, I think they can beat them for sure. And then after that, we just wait and see. It's been a fun season. I mean, their Vikings over under record or over under total was 6 or 6.5, and they've, you know, far exceeded that.
Blown that out of the water. Yeah.
I remember listening to a bunch of like, some people pick preseason, they'll pick like division order, and it was like Lions, Lions, Bears, Packers, or Lions, Packers, Bears. And it was like, I know for sure the Vikings are going to be last, right? And it was like, that was everyone's sure Vikings are going to be last. And it's like, I don't know, they're 9-2. Are they going to win a Super Bowl? Probably not. But I mean, it's been a fun season.
And, very fun season. You know, anything can happen in the playoffs. Nick Foles went on a run with the Eagles. Now, I know they were loaded.
Yeah.
But Vikings are loaded on offense. Like, they are very much. What
Hawkinson's
team?
Coming
I know
back,
the. Yeah, I know the Lions have a lot of talent. Maybe the Lions, and I know you say the Eagles have dudes, but they have dudes on the line. I would take Justin Jefferson, Addison, TJ, Aaron Jones. I'd put him up there with everyone. I'd put him up there.
Yeah, I mean the Eagles, AJ Brown. Yeah, AJ Brown, Barkley, and that offensive line. I don't know. Like, I don't think Jalen. I guess I'd have to watch the tape, but I feel like we would have learned this from when. Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, when Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate and Nick Foles won a ring with the best offensive line. Like, if you have the best offensive line in the league, you're playing a different game. Like, Jalen Hurts is playing a different game. Saquon Barkley was incredible last night.
Incredible.
Like, it's just a different game, but
yeah. Saw a funny stat today randomly about the running backs, the Saquon, Derrick Henry, and another running back and how well they're doing. Their records on the teams because they've all left their former teams and how bad the Giants and the Titans are now. The Giants and the Titans are just bad teams in general, but they're like, hey, maybe the running back position is a little more valuable than we think, which probably is. Probably is.
I don't know. I think I don't really know any Giants fans. I don't really care about that franchise, but I think they're kind of put in a tough spot because if they re-sign Saquon, where are they? They're probably in the same spot, like their offensive line is terrible. They have, one and a half receivers. Like, they're not that good, but it just happened to be that they let Saquon go and he went to the division rival and he's crushing it. It's like kind of sucky.
They do weird things in New York, man. Remember you texted me a few months ago. You're like, isn't it weird that the Giants traded for the defensive end from the Panthers? Isn't that a move that like a team that's one guy away makes? Why are the Giants making that move?
Yeah,
what are
like,
they
dude,
doing with that move?
Your front office is like trying to tank for a quarterback. They release Daniel Jones. Like,
it's all over.
Yeah, it's weird.
So something about Sam Darnold, when we're talking about floor ceiling with the Vikings, if you look at this year, he has sneakily done a few things in key moments. The Niners game, you and I know we watched. I know you watch every Vikings game, but we were talking during the game. The Niners sort of made it close because Aaron Jones fumbled. I think he did fumble in that game. And they could have put that game away on the goal line. But they kind of come back. The Niners make it a one-score game. All Sam had to do, don't turn the ball over. He drives him down. They kick a field goal, ices the game. That's a big deal early in the year. He did the same thing against the Packers. They get a big lead. Packers sort of make it interesting at the end. He goes down. He gets the field goal. Against the Bears, he put him in overtime. He gets the ball. No mistakes. Nothing crazy. Beautiful drive down the field, they win the game. So I'm seeing in these moments, and the Niners are a good team, the Packers are a good team, the Bears have a good defense on the road to division opponent. I think that's more encouraging than people think. So I'm looking at the NFC playoff picture right now, which who knows how it's going to shake out. And Drew, the truth is, I don't think the Lions are going to stumble, but they're only one game back from the Lions. Like, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
They could actually get the one or the two seats. We don't know. But if it ended today, they would go to the Falcons. The Packers at 6 would go to the Seahawks. I think both NFC North teams would win, which would be huge for the Vikings, because the Vikings would then for sure go play the Eagles in the second round, right? Because the Lions would get the lowest remaining. They don't play well
in Philadelphia. I just remember that. They just got destroyed.
I would rather go play the Eagles. I don't know. To me, Brian Flores against Jalen Hurts, I think that's my matchup. And then anything can happen in the title game. I think their ceiling is to reach the NFC title game. Anything happens there. But I like I'm a Vikings fan. I like the way the playoff picture is right now, or obviously getting a higher seed. I want to be the 5. Let Green Bay be below, because what you don't want is everyone to win except for, like, you don't want the division winners to win. You're the lowest remaining, and you got to go to Detroit.
Yeah,
dang, Vikings football, man. Tell you what, it's been a heck of a year in football. Who they got next week? What do the Vikings got?
They're home against the Cardinals.
That's a good game. That's probably their toughest game remaining, other than the division games, right?
Yeah.
Not the Bears.
Yeah, I think they have the Cardinals and the Seahawks left. Maybe right, somebody right. else in there. I can't remember.
All right, before I let you go, thank you for coming on. You're such a great friend here supporting the show. Who's coaching the Bears in 2025? Last question.
Who's head coach? I think it's going to be probably the third best offensive coordinator, whoever that ends up being. Maybe Slowick from the Texans, you know? They talk about
– You like that.
I hate it. I hate it for Caleb. But I just – I mean, we've talked about it before, like the Bears front office and the – they just – I don't know. They're not going to get a big personality. They're not going to get somebody who wants – control over the franchise. They're not going to want somebody who demands a lot of money. But I just think this next hire is going to be so important for them. Like you have to take advantage of the rookie deal, the rookie QB deal, and you can't hire some scrub. I mean, and of course, you just never know, right? You never know with coaches who's going to be a good coach. If they were just an offensive coordinator, it doesn't mean they're going to be a great head coach. You hope. I mean, you look at what the difference between one offense coordinator to another, this night and day difference from the offense. You hope that you can just get someone even better and Caleb continues to progress. But
I look at the Vikings and I look at KOC. The Bears had a shot at KOC. He was a good offense coordinator. But you look at KOC and you're thinking to yourself, right, like, he's winning games. He had Kirk Cousins for a year, essentially, because he got injured. He wins with multiple quarterbacks. He's almost like Kyle Shanahan 2.0 right now. So they're set. The Lions have Dan Campbell. He's not going anywhere. The Packers have LaFleur, who has like the winningest record in the NFL since he joined the Packers.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You can't, like, at this point, if you're the Bears, you've done the coordinator thing. I one more thing. And I said this, but I want you to say it. I want to hear you say it, and not over text, but on a podcast. There's no chance. Forget about what I think about maybe trading for a coach. Forget about that. Let's reverse it. There's no chance if you're a coach. Can you think of any coach right now that's a head coach offensively or any either way that would say, man, I wouldn't mind leaving my job to go to the Bears? Because it's pretty attractive with the cap space they have and the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Is it an attractive situation, do you think, that a good proven coach would want to go there and leave where they're at?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about all the other coaching options, like what are going to be the other availabilities? I mean, maybe the Giants, the Jets. I mean, you go down the list. I don't see. I mean, the Panthers just hired a coach, but I don't really see another option where you have. I mean, especially if Caleb continues to progress. And I don't know what they're going to do with Keenan Allen, but you still have DJ Moore. I think is still under contract, and then
he's 5 years. 5 years.
Dunze had that catch in what was it? Fourth quarter, it was a fourth and four over the middle. It was incredible. I mean, he's still there, Swift. I mean, they obviously need to get better up front. But, yeah, like you said, there's not a better option. But, I don't know, we said that Caleb's never walked into a better situation and then look at the situation he walked into. So, I guess you never know. But you can hope.
I just can't get over looking at Sean McVay last night thinking there's no way – you're that competitive and you want to run it back next year. And I love Matthew Stafford, but with a team that gets injured, then you look at Kyle Shanahan on the sideline, he looks miserable. And so I'm just hoping, like a pipe dream. Bears fall to the Vikings. Andrew Eck comes on, big Vikings fan, big ass brain as a surgeon here to dissect the victory. Thank you for coming on, brother. I really appreciate it.
Skull, baby.
Skull. Until next time.